Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Well, thank you, Dave Solomon. Oh, beautiful day in Baltimore, Maryland. Just had a birthday yesterday, and we're keeping things nice and dry, no music but underneath, to prepare you for next hour because Jim Beard is going to be our guest. He has this really wonderful and compelling and thought-provoking solo piano work called Show of Hands. It's like this musical expedition. You don't know where you're going. There's a couple of familiar tunes, but it's a lot about Jim's work. And Jim has been doing his thing for such a long time, worked with household names, just finished up a tour with Steely Dan. So I'm looking forward to this because I'm just getting to know Jim Beard and the breadth of his work. It's very exciting. Let's start things off with a classic, as is the usual case, Mungo Santa Maria, Afro Blue on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you. This is Hybrid Jazz. love that song. If I had my way, I'd be playing it like every month, maybe even more. Gretchen Parlato from one of the most outstanding pieces of music in the past many years, Mosaic Project from a couple of years ago now. Terry Lynn Carrington got her all-girl ensemble together, and that particular song, I Got Lost in His Arms, is an Irving Berlin song that was first heard in the 1946 musical Annie Get Your Gun, about Annie Oakley falling in love with Frank Butler. I don't think this is what these women had in mind when they did the song. Oh, my goodness. Gretchen Parlato. So cool to see that her Live in New York City CD is doing really well. And she is doing some really cool kinds of gigs. Anytime you go to GretchenParlato.com, you'll discover something interesting. First of all, you can hear Butterfly, the very unique way that she does Herbie Hancock's song, on the website, and that's from Live in New York City. And then you'll get to see all of the gigs that she's got going on, including one with Mosaic Project on the 23rd in Las Vegas, and then a CD release party in December in the Big Apple. So Gretchen continues to roll along and do mightily well, and she deserves it. She's very much not a perfectionist, but she believes in work and making sure that you achieve your goals. And there's a handful of people at the Monk Institute that have been mentors, but she took that mentorship and she rolled with it herself. She is doing quite well in a couple of different ways. She's got one kind of ensemble situation happening with TLC, and then she's got her own trio going on. She's constantly working with the up-and-comers and has been for a while as far as instrumental artistry is concerned. I just love her, and it was one of my favorite interviews when she was on Hybrid Jazz. She's really a class act. So is Luis Munoz. And .net is where you go to find out information. I know that Luis has a newer CD called Loose, but this was from Invisible from 2010, Adam's Dream. Love that song. You can always tell when somebody writes something special about a loved one, and that's about Luis's son, Adam. Ramses Araya on bata drums, Jonathan Dane on trumpet, love that. Tom Etchart on fretless bass, George Friedenthal on piano, Luis on piano, synth, drums, cajon, keksiksi, Bamba Lugrero, Njembi, and Narciso Sotomayor on electric guitars. It just sounded good to say all that, but the musicianship that Luis has on each project is so sublime. I cannot tell you. And let me just say this about what a wonderful person Luis is. Birthday yesterday, a ton of love. You know, from the simplistic happy birthdays to the messages were just amazing on Facebook. Luis didn't want to make sure that he publicized himself and what his work and his background was all about. He sent me a message. And I really appreciated that, because this is the mark of a humble man, and his music really shows the depth of his character. He has a gig now in his adopted Santa Barbara, California, at the Marquee every month. I believe it's on the second Thursday, but if you go to luismunoz.net, you'll find out more. Beautiful to play Adam's Dream from Invisible. That's the name of the CD. Afro Roots from the late 50s. Woo! Mongo Santa Maria. Here's some more names. Cuban born, moved to New York in 1950, and what a gentle revolution he started, because honestly, he was important in the integration of the later R&B infusion, all of that rumba and Quinto Master and Afro-Cuban Latin jazz, percolate, and percussion was involved in some of the things that we heard in the 60s and in the 70s. And in large part, that was due to Mongo Santa Maria. Amazing. There was a lot of congueros that came from Havana and resided in New York, but Mongo Santa Maria was one of those cats that is on most people's lips who appreciate jazz and the kind of hybrid nature that it took on as time went on. Mongo says something very important that needs to get passed on. He said that what he learned in the streets of Havana was so important because you can't duplicate that sound that's in your soul and in your ears when you're listening to other records. It has to come from a place of authenticity. How often have we discussed this on Hybrid Jazz, right? And we'll talk about that more next hour with Jim Beard. I really am looking forward to delving into this man's head. When you have been working with Wayne Shorter, you've worked with Dizzy Gillespie and Michael Brecker, and have had a long run with Steely Dan, something's going right in your world. Just fascinated with the scope of Jim Beard's work, and we'll talk to him coming up next hour. For those on the East Coast listening to us live around 2 o'clock or so. A guest next week on Hybrid Jazz. Looking forward to this lady. A lady with a sax whose birthday was also yesterday. Teresa Grayson. Live to Love is the name of the brand new CD. And thank you, Kim. Thank you, Rick, for bringing my attention to the project. Here is the track that you first hear when you listen to the CD. More Pressure on Hybrid Jazz. Check Teresa out.
for all we know. We may never meet again. Before you go, make this moment sweet again. We won't say goodnight until the last minute. I'll hold out my hand, and my heart will be in it for all we know. This may only be a dream. We come and go like a ripple on a stream. So love me tonight. Tomorrow was made for some. Tomorrow may never come. For all we know,
Let me tell you something. Part of the wonderful aspect of having my birthday yesterday was going over a few delightful things that arrived in the mail. And one of them was from my lifelong friend Dave, who you hear is the welcoming voice for Hybrid Jazz. So Dave, through the many years, has gifted me with these handcrafted, how do I say this? He frequently has a theme in mind when he puts together these songs on disc. Not so much this time. He just wanted me to hear specific songs done frequently and new by folks that I may not have discovered sang the songs. And that was one of them, Bob Skaggs, doing For All We Know. Now, originally, but it was from the movie For Lovers and Other Strangers back late 60s, early 70s. Richard Carpenter heard the song and thought it would be great for the Carpenters. So he and Karen Carpenter tackled that song. It did wonderfully. A dozen, two dozen, three dozen more people have covered it through the years, but when you have somebody like Boz Skaggs, who has been through the music journey and through some wars with record labels and has done it all, has done the blues, has done rock, has done pop, has gained acceptance, and has reached a time in his life where he wants to be reflective because of the music that first touched him, much like Jeffrey Osborne. It's really special. That read was so special. Boz even said, when you're doing a song like this, that is the Great American Songbook, essentially, you have to possess the song. You have to know what you're doing. You can't be cavalier about the lyric because it meant everything back then. You'll find that from 2003's But Beautiful album that went number one on the Billboard Jazz charts in 2004. On Boz's own record label, Grey Cat, it was recorded in September in the autumn, so there was a certain kind of wistfulness in the reeds for these beautiful tunes that he covered. Honestly, he stated this. The whole project changed him. He just was so affected by going back and being a little uncomfortable with the lyrical content of some of these songs because he felt that they were comfortable for women to sing, but he had to dig deep to get that vulnerability out. He sure did. Oh! And speaking of autumn, we heard Wynton Marsalis' Autumn Leaves from Live at Blues Alley, 1986. Had to play that song. It's Wynton's 52nd birthday tomorrow. Beautiful, beautiful quartet at Blues Alley. Stanley Clark's going to be there tomorrow night, by the way. Actually, he's there tonight. Tomorrow, Saturday and Sunday, Stanley Clark. Back to Wynton. Very beautiful conglomerate of folks here. Robert Hurst on bass, Marcus Roberts on piano, Jeff Tane Watts on drums. Jeff is something else because if you do the research on Jeff, you'll find out that for all of Wynton and Branford Marsalis' Grammy Award-winning projects, there was Mr. Watts on the drums. He is a fascinating character. He was in Mo Better Blues, by the way. I love these multi-layerings of these artists. They're on the road, but they've also done other kinds of projects, creative, artistic endeavors. That particular project of Wynton's back in the mid-80s got 4 out of 5, sometimes 5 stars, because of the honest-to-God live musicianship. Wynton is one of these cats. He really does tick people off sometimes because he speaks the truth. Trumpeter, composer, music educator, artistic director. God, what would Lincoln Center have done without Wynton Marsalis? And one of these guys who has won both jazz and classical awards at the Grammys. Just a visionary, the second of 6 sons to Dolores and Ellis Marsalis in New Orleans. Salute to you, Winton. Beautiful work there. Autumn leaves. Woo. Teresa Grayson, something brand new. Live to Love is the name of the CD. She will be on Hybrid Jazz on the 24th next week. And by the way, next Tuesday will be Gloria Loring. You have heard that name, I know, in the news recently because she is the mother of Robin Thicke. We are not going to go there. We are focusing on Gloria Loring and her amazing singing career and the fact that she's an author. She's got a brand new book out, so we'll be talking about that and dipping into some music, too. It's going to be great. Also, next Tuesday, Level 10, playing at Clearwater Jazz this weekend. Levi DeAndrade is going to be with us on Tuesday at 1 o'clock, start time for Hybrid Jazz, and Gloria comes in the next hour of the show. Very, very cool. Teresa Grayson has a CD release party at, I believe, Sugar's in Beaumont, Texas. Yeah, she's a Texas girl, and she'll be talking to us about that and all sorts of wonderful things. And being a female in jazz, playing the saxophone, I love it. You know I love to dig my teeth into that kind of subject. We got one for Beej right now. I see Matt's in the chat room, too. Yay, Matt. Thank you both for your wonderful little birthday greetings yesterday. Got to play East Bay Soul, don't you think? Yeah. From East Bay Soul 2.0 to Catch a Thief and Jim Beard coming up in about 10 minutes or so on Hybrid Jazz. Stick around. This is Hybrid Jazz. Amazing what a master can do in 2 minutes as far as a musical journey, isn't it? Man, let me tell you something. Everybody and his mama was saying to me yesterday for my birthday, Trish, I hope you have a wonderful day. Why it was so wonderful was because I was immersed in Jim Beard music. Not only his most recent Show of Hands, but I went back to Song of the Sun, Lost at the Carnival, Truly, Advocate, Revolutions. It was a blast. This man, I wouldn't have actually scheduled a show the day after my birthday, but this particular individual could do the show today, so I said, let's do it, please. This is an amazing pianist you just heard, arranger, composer, educator, a musician's musician. And he's resting up a little bit until the next journey. Ladies and gentlemen, please make welcome Jim Beard. Hey, Jim.
Hi, Trish.
How are you?
I'm fine.
I am tickled. I'm tickled that you're here, too. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it was a pleasure to delve into essentially your body of work, all of it yesterday. It was great. Look, you know what? In times that will come, people will say, hey, Trish, do you remember what was one of your most memorable birthdays? And usually when people say, oh, yeah, I went to Barbados or I had a surprise vacation, somebody bought me a car, something radical. No, Jim, what I was doing was I was listening to you all day.
Well, I feel very honored. I don't know if anybody else has done that. That's great.
Oh, I loved it. It put me in the right frame of mind because there's something about you and the way you play. Show of Hands is your latest, and of course I was really listening intent on that. You just have a way of taking somebody on this expedition that you don't think that you're going to go to with your original work, and sometimes the real short songs take you by surprise. These haikus are beautiful, but then you do takes on songs that are absolutely revered, and I'm just so curious, first of all, because you're a Philadelphia guy. I'm a Philadelphia girl. Where did you, where were you born and raised? Yeah.
How about that? I was in it was an area called Ridley Park, and I used to take my Fender Rhodes and play on South Street and
wow.
The places like the and when the Painted Bride, I don't know if you remember that place, or the Khyber Pass Pub.
Of course. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Oh wow. And you started early too. You were a multi-instrumentalist. When did you decide to focus on piano, thank God for it, but when was that?
Well, that was the instrument my parents said I should start with because all of their friends who had kids getting into music, the thing was, you know, it's a good idea to start your children with piano first and then they can take, you know, branch out into other instruments later. But the piano stuck with me. I did take lessons. I did study clarinet and saxophone for a number of years. And a string bass, but I don't know, the piano just stuck with me.
And it must have stuck in the ears of others, too, because one of the things I find fascinating about you, having just played, and I was listening to music a lot this week. Sometimes when you anticipate a birthday, you get extra sentimental. So I was going back to Wes Montgomery music and listening to Bumpin', and there was Don Sibisky, and you and he had a cool relationship as a teenager. You studied with him, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I was taking these workshops at the Wilmington School of Music under the direction of Hal Schiff, and I took arranging classes, and he was a teacher. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. That was.
I was quite young then, but basically, I think mostly what I learned from him was that I didn't know anything, so I needed to really kind of kick. I needed to kick my butt and get into gear, if you know what I mean, because he's quite the arranger.
Oh my gosh! For years and with so many, I was going to say household names, but you've had your share of working with those household names too. You seem to have this magnet attached to you. Other people want you to be involved in their work because you have a particular way of enhancing. I know that you can't necessarily answer that particular statement, but how was it when you were a teenager, when you met Don or when you met somebody else that was pivotal in your life, did you have a light bulb moment where you said to yourself, boy, this is really what I want to do, don't want to do anything else but play?
Yeah, I think by the time I was 15, I had made a decision that music was going to be it for me. I had a serious light bulb moment when I was taking a George Shearing master class, and he asked for the volunteers to play at the end of the week of classes, and I volunteered, and I was 15 at the time, and critiqued me very severely, and which was a serious eye-opener for me. But he also thought he was blind. So he thought I was the youngest in the class. Most of the students were in their 20s and 30s and were professional musicians. Natalie Cole was in that class. And when he learned that I was a 15-year-old, he was very apologetic. And then he came to me and he said, if you ever want private lessons, when you come to New York, just give me a call. And he gave me his phone number. And I started to do that for a number of years.
Oh, my gosh. That's... That's an amazing story because, being blind, the first thing I thought of, because somebody in the chat room brought up Stevie Wonder earlier, and actually Matt in the chat room, he heard Honeysuckle Rose that we just played, and his mind immediately went to Stevie Wonder. I don't know why people make the connections that they do when they are sighted and they play music, or they can hear it with a particular ear. When you're blind and you don't have the advantage of seeing, sometimes, Jim, you can actually see more than most sighted people. That was probably the case with George, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, he was an incredible human being, very, very thoughtful and kind and generous. And very polite, and he was a very civilized man.
Oh, couldn't we have a dose or two of that these days, huh?
Yeah, right.
Oh, gracious. Well, you moved to New York in 1985, and things happened pretty quickly for you, didn't they? What was the first thing that happened, and what was the reasoning? Was there a specific reason for moving, or you just thought, okay, look, it's time?
Well, I had my mindset on moving to the city when I was in university, but it's a pretty intimidating decision. Literally scared to death to move, and because it's very overwhelming. It's just a huge scene, a lot of people, and there's about 3 billion other people there that are trying to do what you're trying to do.
Sure.
You hold your nose and you take the plunge, and that's what I did. And I just, for the first 5 or 6 months, I just said yes to everything. I played, club dates. I accompanied tap dance classes. whatever I could get, I would take. But I also did a lot of jam sessions, and that's where I got to meet some people that led the way for bigger and better things. Namely Bill Evans, saxophone.
I love
him. And then I met Mike Stern playing at the 55 Bar on Christopher Street. And then they needed Mike Stern and Bob Bird needed a keyboard player for a gig in Boston, and they called me for that. And then, things started happening like that.
Well, it's mind-blowing to do the research on you because, to be perfectly honest with you, Jim, I thought, Trish, are you a little intimidated? I was, because of the fact that you have been involved with so many different types of people, and you were born about 7 or 8 years after me. So you, to me, in that particular age group, are the quintessential person who has inspiration from multiple sources. You do your work so brilliantly on the piano, and you can tell there's a lot going on in your head, but you must have been inspired by not only jazz, but classical, because that was your training, and rock as well. And now, what, you just got off a tour with Steely Dan. You've been with them for at least, 5 years or so?
Yeah, it's been about 5 years now, yeah.
Yeah. So how was the last night in New York?
That was great. And, when you get to that point, it was the very end of the tour. I don't think we've ever finished out a tour in New York. So you're kind of on the fence. You feel like you're home, but you're still kind of on tour. And, everybody's a little bit shell-shocked by that point. But it went very well. The whole run was very successful.
Oh, I'm sure.
And it's great to work with, a band that was very much a part of my a big influence on me when I was younger. When I first got the music, and I felt like I already knew all the music, and I sort of did. It was already in my head. So, it's been a real treat to share the stage with those guys.
Well,
and you're right. I am influenced by like anything that I feel is great in music. Whether it's in classical or, great classic pop music or whatever, you could just hear when there's a inquisitive, talented, crafty mind at work, and I've always been partial to that world.
Well, and you are inspiring so many other people. I can imagine the students that you have had through these many times of being an instructor, you must really wrap their heads around with the creative notions that they can get into. Because, gosh, if people don't know, I'm a big fan of Bill Evans, and folks may not know, this is not the pianist Bill Evans, but the saxophone player. When he delves into the creative soul that he loves to enjoy, which is combining jazz with bluegrass. Who does that? And then you also work with John McLaughlin, who's one of the visionaries of the music world. So it can't help but infuse you. And then you grew up in Philadelphia. There was a lot of creative endeavors happening there, too. We're really fortunate to have Philadelphia roots, aren't we?
Yeah, it's a great music town, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Well, what do you do on your downtime? What do you do, Jim Beard?
Well, after the basically, I've been taking a lot of naps this last week, but I love to cook. I love. My second passion is being a foodie.
Oh, neat.
So that's what I like to do as well, and I like to run. I run about 20 miles a week, and just different things like that, you know.
Well, that's good. The mind, body, and soul, it seems like they're being addressed, so that's a wonderful thing. Just to let folks know who are listening either live now or will be in the archives, this gentleman has been responsible for so many musical compositions, too numerous to mention, in revered orchestras, major festivals, and then TV and radio and film. And here we are now after, what, this is the sixth CD project that you have done on your own, correct? I think so. I'm counting one, two, three.
Yes, it is. Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So here we are.
Six, yeah.
Show of hands is this, and one of the words I love to use because I feel it when I hear it, it's not a typical music project. It's quirky and delicious and adventurous and soul-stirring, and it's done with Jim Beard's piano. So it's just mind-blowing where you go when someone listens to Show of Hands. It's going to be a for one person than it is for another. Jim, what was the premise for putting together the project like this? It must have meant something special to you, because it's something special to me now.
I've been encouraged by fans and colleagues over the years that I need to do this, and I guess maybe I put it off for a little while, but I just started collecting music that I thought would lend itself well to solo piano music, and it's not kind of stuck in one bag. I purposely chose sort of different angles of music. Some of the things are completely improvised, and some of the things are more approached with a classical mindset. And then there's a number of songs which are hybrids of the two. So I see the project as me working out and balancing what I see to be two opposites, sort of the structured and the unstructured, or the scripted versus the unscripted, or the composed versus the improvised, and I just was seeing how those two ideas can play off of each other. And that's just a very broad way of putting it, but that's how I kind of viewed it as I was doing it.
It's really fascinating because when you not speaking for everybody, but this particular individual anyway, listening to the tracks from one to the next, and then hearing it as a cohesive unit. It's amazing how you make the connections. Since I've been involved in jazz, I've really dipped back a long, long time ago to the origins. So honestly, Jim, besides the contemporary feel I felt some of the time and the classical feel I felt at others, and then a pop, sort of warming pop, feel that I felt on some tunes, I went back in time and I could like hear you and Jelly Roll Morton doing something side by side. It really it was awesome to take one little trip after the other. Thank you for that.
Oh, well, you're welcome. And I hope other people take the time to, you know, give it a chance and give it a listen.
Well, I'm pretty sure that's going to be the case because you've made a lot of fans with these amazing works that you've done previously. And let me tell you something. I was really getting into Advocate this week. I was, woo, because, you know, folks need to dip into that, and then they need to come to Show of Hands because you've really pulled out the stoppers on some of the projects and then laid back on others. You're a very interesting man, Jim.
Thank you very much. Yeah, but I guess it's fair to say that Advocate and Show of Hands are 180 degrees apart.
Yes, absolutely. And we haven't even touched. I'm going to delve into a song because it's just so interesting to let people hear. You've got a real rabid fan in California. Susie is in the chat room, and she's like, oh, Jim Beards on the show. She's really excited. We're going to get to another track, Susie, so hold on. Your production abilities, when did that come into play? What actually came first? You were writing songs for a while. You've been playing almost all your life. So when was the soup first or were the nuts first when you made the journey to New York?
Well, you're wondering about the when I got into the producing world.
Yes.
Well, that's funny because I ended up, you know, I've produced a lot of records, and there wasn't a day when I sat down and said to myself, I think I want to be a producer. It just sort of fell into my lap. And I think it came about mostly from doing sessions in the late 80s, and I started doing a lot of record dates. And back then, there wasn't Pro Tools. It was, you know, good old 2-inch tape, and if somebody wanted to fix something, a solo or whatever, you know, the engineers would get very nervous because if you make a mistake, it's not like today with Pro Tools where, you know, you can, it's impossible to make a mistake anymore. But back then, if you made a mistake, the tape was gone, and engineers used to get very nervous, and he was trying to, it was a Bob Burke solo, and he was rehearsing Bob many times for the punch-in, and like Bob was getting very frustrated and losing his inspiration. And I said, look, I can do that first time, no problem. Let me sit there at the console, and I'll punch Bob in. And so I did that, and then, you know, I guess the word got out, and any time I was on a record date, people wanted me to sit at the board and do the punch-ins for the solo. And then I guess that's... That's sort of like all, you know, that led to a call for me to be a producer. So I'm guessing that's how it started.
You are so funny because let me just boast for you. These production abilities have been utilized by a couple of people you might know, Chick Corea, Marcus Miller, Al Jarreau, Esperanza Spalding. I could go on. So, yeah, that's another one of your gifts. It's a curse to be so multi-gifted, isn't it? Jeez.
It is. And it can be a curse to like so many different kinds of music. I think, if I only was into avant-garde music, my life would be simpler, but it's not. It definitely leads to a very rich life, spiritually and culturally and all that.
Yes, yes. And actually, yeah, you do, in a sense, remind me of an Ornette Coleman. you do. You have this freedom of expression that I'm sure that folks have gravitated to because they can sense something in you. You seem to get other people. You know, your own work is absolutely splendid, and the work that you've done with other people, it just can't help but make a pop. And if folks don't necessarily know, this is a Grammy Award winner we're talking to because Brecker Brothers, Some Skunk Funk, back in the mid-2000s, that was a very big deal, and you were a part of that. So I'm supposing that you still keep in touch with the esteemed Mr. Brecker. I'm hoping that you do anyway.
With Randy? Oh, sure, yeah. We bumped into each other here and there, and he's a great guy. We're old buddies now. I think we first worked together back in 1988 or 89, so, yeah.
Man.
You know.
It's really interesting to see your journey as it's come along, doesn't it? Gosh, Jim, you must be astounded when you think about all that you've done.
Pretty much I'm exhausted when I think about all the things.
But in a good way.
it's a good thing for sure. But it's funny, you know, when you do a big tour of like I just did, you know, some of us in the band, we have this inside joke where we say, you know, we can't wait to get back on the road and get some rest.
Ah!
Because, you know, that's the tour. It's in a way, it's a very simple lifestyle. It's a routine. You know, you have sound checks, you have concerts, you have hotels, you'll have a day off, and then you have a sound check, a concert, a hotel, you know, a day off. You know, and there's people taking care of you, so it's a different life than kind of running around Manhattan. So,
right, I completely understand that. Well, this is so intriguing. From Show of Hands, there is a piece here, and I want you to explain it because I'm very intrigued, and I know that this is one of your favorite tracks. And forgive me if I mispronounce. It's a blonde situation here, so that's all I'm going to say about that. But to Anacreon in heaven?
To Anacreon in heaven, yeah.
Anacreon, okay. So I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Somewhere along the line, I've missed the classical bent toward it. But explain why this particular song on Show of Hands.
Well, this is something that, George Shearing used to like to do this. He would take, a folk song or some very simple song, and then try to make it gorgeous and lush and give it a really a different type of treatment. And I just wanted to do that with this song because before it was, you know, most people when they hear this song, they're going to think it is the music to the United States National Anthem.
Yes.
But before it was that, it was a song called To Anacreon in Heaven, which was basically a drinking song. It was the theme song of the Anacreontic Society in England. They were pretty much a bunch of amateur musicians celebrating wine, women, and song. And
wow!
There's a version of this song with different words. But regardless of whether it's the national anthem or this other version, it's always done with so much sort of bravado and dramatics, and there's lots of chest beating going on, and a lot of times I get the sense when people are singing it or playing it that they're always kind of overachieving. So I just wanted to approach it from the opposite angle and make it just beautiful and lush, you know. So that was my mission when I was recording that song.
And honestly, this word does not get used too often on Hybrid Jazz, but the first word that came to mind after hearing it was splendid. Splendid. So, this is Jim Beard on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you.
Yes, indeed, Jim Beard. You really have given us an education today. Just looked it up. The 18th century Anacreontic Society, a gentleman's club.
That's great. Yeah, it's pretty funny, actually. I don't think people are generally unaware of the history of their own national anthem. So,
wow.
I do find it very interesting. Yeah.
And, man, don't you know that story is going to get circulated by the folks in the chat room and me, too, because, honestly, I wanted to ask you the question. I didn't even think about looking up the song, which I frequently do, but I just did. And this is pretty fascinating. The official song attributed to the composer, John Stafford Smith. God bless you there, Jim.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, tell me, here we are. We're in mid-October. The year is rolling on by. What do you have, and you would be the person to ask because you do so much, and you've got fingers in pies all over the place. What is it that you foresee happening for you in 2014, something that you would like to do, something that you haven't done before now?
Ooh, well, I actually might get to do something that I haven't done but that I want to do, which is a live performance date with an orchestra. Actually, I should credit that. I have done a couple projects live with the Metropole Orchestra in Amsterdam, but it was always other people's music. We did a tribute to Joe Zawinul and other things like that. But I've got an inquiry about doing my music from Revolutions with an orchestra in 2014, and I'm hoping that pans out. That would be really fun to do, and I'm also just hoping that to do some solo piano concerts and maybe do them in conjunction with master classes and workshops at the same time. So. Working on those two things at the moment.
Oh, that would be great. I would encourage you to see if you can do that in Washington, because we sure need you there, and we sure need you in Baltimore even more. And I don't know how that is necessarily done. I know that the UB Blake Center in Baltimore does endeavors like this frequently, and more venues. Maybe you can flesh this out for me, Jim, because do you see that more venues or more restaurants even, or particular projects, offshoots of theaters, are they getting involved in more creative aspects as far as music is concerned? Do you see a turn in the tide as relative to creativity around you in New York or on the road? Do you see it?
I see it a little bit. There's a place in it's called the Coco Theater at Jazz Club / Theater in Helsinki, and they're doing a lot of interesting things. There's Matt Garrison's place in Brooklyn, Shapeshifter Lab, and he's doing a whole bunch of interesting stuff. I certainly would like to see more of it happening, but I do see there are little spots of musical hopefulness out there.
Yeah, I see it certainly in Baltimore, D.C., and I don't have a hand on what's happening in Philadelphia, so all I can gauge is what people tell me in the way of, the kinds of almost miracles that happen when people from different genres come together, or people thinking outside of the box, and because of the economic hardship that we've all endured, to keep the music alive and living, folks are working together, it seems, that would have never dreamed of partnering just so they can have live music on their stages. We've got a theater here in the Patterson Park area of Baltimore, and it just seems like more promoters want to get into the fray and focus on jazz or jazz mixed with classical or jazz and rock. It seems to be a cool time to be living for music. Do you think? Are you getting that vibe?
I mean, it is encouraging to hear about these things because and maybe it is an upturn now because there is definitely a downturn with the advent of the whole digital download internet music. The live music scene took a serious hit, and, and certainly the CD business took a serious hit. Anytime there's promotion going on for concertizing, performing, the live arts, that's always a great thing.
Well, here's something to encourage you. I'm telling a lot of people about this. My friends in Nashville are actually opening a bookstore, but with the books, it's in East Nashville, they're also making sure that there is a wide selection for independent hard copy CDs, which I think is fabulous.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
just to see a return to the mom and pop stores.
Right. When people.
Oops.
Children's generation, they're almost looking at CDs the way people looked at LPs and like, well, what's a CD? You just have an iPod, just put your music on your laptop or your iPad or whatever, who needs those CD things anymore? But I like CDs. I'm holding something. I like liner notes. I like artwork. I like the idea of something being tangible and being like, you own it and it's, you can hold it.
Yes, and you can have it autographed.
Yes, you can have it autographed. That's true.
Yes.
Hey, I wonder if people are getting their iPods autographed. That's really interesting.
You know, Ron, it's not the same. It's not the same.
I only fit that four or five on there,
Right. No, it's so beautiful. Gosh, it would be absolutely wonderful to see these kinds of things. And all it takes is for one to be successful. So I'm hoping Dan and Kerry are very successful with theirs. But to have a mom and pop store that would actually breathe life into a community and revive the notion of people actually getting together, having coffee and supporting music that you can buy as opposed to being the anonymous blob that we all have turned into with this internet situation, it would be wonderful.
Yeah, I completely agree with that.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you may have an opportunity to do some orchestration with a previous endeavor. That's exciting. Woo! I'm a little excited.
Yep.
Well, we have an 8-minute track, and I don't want to keep you too much longer because I know that you've got some running to do, some cooking to do, and some real resting. This particular track, Jim, is here's what it is. And for folks who have never heard this track from Show of Hands, it's Argentine. It's 8.5 minutes or a little bit more, and you feel as though you're in a car and you're making stops along the road. Wait, stop the car here. There's an antique shop. Wait a minute. I see something that looks like a river. If you just go 0.5 mile more, it's just beautiful. You want to explain that?
Well, this is one of the two full-length, brand-new original compositions. The other one is St. Cloud. And
gorgeous.
This is a song, and they're both similar in that the bookends of the song, the beginnings and the end, are composed, but the majority middle portion of the song is improvised. So this is one of a couple of the songs that, like I was saying earlier, is kind of a hybrid of those two different worlds.
Thank you for using that word, by the way. It's just incredible. And honest to goodness, I'm really glad that you had the time. will be, now that I have the recent work in my hands, will be dipping into show of hands from time to time, pretty frequently on this show. So thank you for the unbelievable work you've done through the years, you silly rascal, you.
Oh, well, thanks, Trish. Thanks for having me on the show. It's been nice.
It really has. Continue your resting, and when are you out on the road again? Can you say, or is it just something you don't want to think about?
No, I have to think about it. I'm going out later next week. I'll be doing a week of dates with Madeline Peru on the East Coast. And then we have a few days off, and then we're going to do some dates in Europe after that. And then I have a gig with my own band at the Riviera Maya Jazz Festival, which is in Mexico, and that's on November 29th. So I'm staying a little bit busy throughout the rest of this year.
You sure are. That's good. Oh, my God, isn't that great? That's great. Well, we'll look to see the dates, and maybe if we can work something out. A few of us will come see you from different states. That would be good, and we'll make sure that we introduce ourselves. So there.
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be great.
Thank you, Jim, so much. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy the sunshine.
All right, Trish. Thanks again.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Jim Beard. This is from Show of Hands, beautiful tune. Just make sure that you're in the frame of mind to appreciate the artistry involved in Argentine. On Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you. This is Hybrid Jazz.
Thank you. thanks for the drink. It's cold, it's sweet, it's tall, it's a knife. You're too good to be true. I should have known, maybe I did. Who knows? I opened my eyes, you're gone. There's blood on my clothes. I'm trying to keep from crying. Water in my eyes, only blurries a clear sky. I keep asking why. How can someone just leave you to die alone?
So interesting. My tuxedo cat never shows any interest. Usually, he just wants his food and his water when he comes into the kitchen. We have a big kitchen where this is all set up here at Hybrid Jazz, but he wanted to get a little closer to the speaker so he could hear Miche Fambro. Yes. Hello, Payne. Hello, Rufie. Rufus and Chaka Khan are my cats. One is white, one is black. We're a very unified family here, ladies and gentlemen. We like it that way. Miche Fambro, one of the more fascinating individuals that you could ever hope to meet. Seriously, if you have heard him on Hybrid Jazz, and we have to get him back because he is a bona fide capital H hoot. This man is a throwback to all of what was so cool back in the day. Matter of fact, Granddad was a vaudevillian, and Granddad used to always say, that Miche never listens. And thank God he never did, because he never took the safe route through his lifetime. He is a singer. He's a writer. He's a television host. Matter of fact, if you go to Miche Fambro.com, you will see the online music variety show that is Miché Today. He's just very creative, and he's also a guitar instructor online. Just not enough I can say about Miché. He's a different breed of cat. He's formidable looking. There's no one who looks quite like him. He's sexy. Matter of fact, I would like to see there be a pairing because these two guys are cut from the same cloth. Slim Man and Miché Fambro, that would be entertaining. I am going to work on that for what I'm worth in 2014. Just real interesting. They're both very witty, and they're quirky. Oh, capital Q on that. Oh, Lord. They're creative individuals. They never do things by the rules. Hello, Pain. Who would do a song like that? MichéFambro.com has more. And Miché, if you're listening, yes, please, let's get something together for November. It would be just too comical for words. A holiday event, don't you think? We could have recipes. We could talk about the daily events. We could talk about on October 16th. Things were all sewn up as far as Congress getting up off their collective arses and saying, yes, let's go back to work. Wonderful. We could talk about all sorts of subjects. Mr. Magic, we heard from 1975. And by the way, you can get Hello Pain. You can at least listen to it. There is a picture of Miché with his beautiful, very sensual white scarf around his neck at MichéFambro.com. Grover Washington Jr., Mr. Magic from 1975, Mercy. We don't have to tell you about Grover, do we? I don't think so. His fourth album topped the soul and the jazz charts. Top 10 on the pop charts. Amazing. Gary King and Phil Upchurch on the project on bass. Ralph McDonald on percussion. Our friend Harvey Mason on drums. Yeah. Eric Gale on guitar. Grover handling that saxophone like nobody else. And Bob James providing the piano and arranging, too, by the way. Bob James, yeah. Did a lot of work through the years. Sure wish Grover was with us. It's just still hard to believe that he's passed on, died in 1999. And, man, what a legacy he left behind. Really, when you think about it, just as we discussed with Jim Beard, because Jim had a lot of inspirations and influences growing up in Philadelphia. Here's Grover Washington Jr. growing up in Buffalo, New York, but we claim him in Philadelphia because he came in 1967, so there. But he had his mom in church. He was listening to blues really early. His dad had a massive collection of phonograph records that were all jazz. So you can't help but what's around you. You put your heart and soul into what is familiar. So for many folks, the kind of music that he was turning out was really different. You know, the jazz snobs were kaflumped because he wasn't doing traditional jazz. That's not the kind of vibe that he heard when he was growing up. He had a lot of soul influences. He had that strong gospel feel. The blues clubs where he would sneak into in Buffalo, all of that he brought to the table, and he changed the world of music around. So we won't ever forget that. Jim Beard from Show of Hands. Whew. It was just refreshing to hear that piano and those two hands. Working it, working it, working it. Oh, my God, it's such a treasure to hear him. And who knew that Francis Scott Key ripped off an 18th-century gentleman's club to write the Star-Spangled Banner? What? I didn't know that. I confess that I am adult when it comes to that information, but Jim knows it all. Whew. That was something. So glad he had the opportunity to stick around for a while. That was really cool. We're going to do this right now, and I have to maneuver a little bit. Bear with me. Just a little bit. Yeah, we have to have two hands in order to sort of manipulate the screen. We have a couple of Philly friends that we're going to play back-to-back now. What a birthday treat in the mail yesterday. Shadows from the Sun, my old friends, Abstract Truth with G. Lawrence. Actually, Eric Marienthal is on this too. And the first song that we hear is something called G's Groove, which, of course, Gary wrote along with, Rick Tate Jr. This is pretty happening. And we're going to go right from the brand new sound from Abstract Truth from Philadelphia into David P. Stevens along with Carl Cox on saxophone. Woo! It's going to be good. Hang on to your hats. Hybrid Jazz from Trisha. This is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
I thought that we were perfect. No need to ever change. When the secrets from our past were revealed, I thought this might be the end. 'Cause no one ever walked this far with me. I let no one get in. I gave everything but my heart, you see. But you still remain a friend. Oh, you're my mirror, mirror I can never break. You're my picture, camera can never take. The reflection in my wall street. Oh, you're exactly what I need. Thought you loved the way I use my words. Thought you loved the way I speak. But when my words would bring so much pain and hurt, in silence you still love me. Thought my standards were for everyone. My religion true and fair. But you showed me how to look at me. Start by working there. Oh, you're the mirror, a mirror I can never. You're my picture, the camera can never. Oh, the reflection in my water stream. Oh, you're exactly what I try to change your thoughts, fit inside of mine. But I realize the things I needed were deep inside your eyes. I see you and me so differently, and like my eyes are blue, I can face myself inside your love. I see me inside of you. Oh, 'cause you're my mirror, I can never break. You're my picture, camera can never take. Oh, the reflection in my water stream. Oh, you are exactly what I need. Oh, you're my mirror, mirror I can never. You're my picture, camera I can never. Oh, you are the reflection in my water.
Nice. Woo! That is Marcel Russell, who makes his home in the area. He is known, though, far beyond these regions. He's one of those much acclaimed singers. He used to have a group called Marcel and the Truth that did very well. Matter of fact, I played quite a few tracks when I was working at a former endeavor up the road at a terrestrial radio station. He's just one of those guys whose voice you cannot forget. Now he's on his own. And it's so interesting to play him with that particular kind of song because on Facebook, Marcel's life has more or less been an open book. There has been a few challenges in the way of romance past several years. We have watched these comings and goings, and he is a very spiritual man, so he took all of this very seriously. And there were a few times where his heart was broken. Well, now he's recently married. He found the love of his life. And this particular CD, The Serenade and the Sermon, are all about that pathway to finding the ultimate life partner, Vanessa. Vanessa is this beautiful gal, and everybody knew that when she came into his life, folks who knew him very well and folks who were just watching from afar, we all said, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, this is going to take. So it really did, and now they are these leaders in the community. They're both intensely spiritually devoted, and not only to the concept of being Christians, but also in the way of making sure that marriage gets a good name, because they're both so happy, and they like to counsel either Marcel in the way of his song or Vanessa in the way of her life. She had a little boy, and Marcel just gravitated to this little boy, as men are naturally inclined to do when the circumstances are right for a real family to take form. So all of that happened. I'm so happy for him. MarcelRussell.com has more information. You should know that Kevin Jackson on guitar had a hand in being a part of that project, and Kevin is going to be on the show in early November. This is another one of these gentlemen I have watched for several years, and the way that they're popping now, oh my gosh, it's unbelievable. Marcel, by the way, I got that track via Soul Tracks. That's pretty outstanding. And then Kevin is doing so much in the way of his new CD. We're going to jump into all of that when he's on board in early November on Hybrid Jazz. We also heard David P. Stevens. Yes, Philly in the house. DavidStevensMusic.com has the information you need. That was the title track from Epiphany. Carl Cox was on saxophone doing his thing. They sound so good together. David's going to be on the Cap Jazz Super Cruise on the 2nd of November through the 10th, and then in 2014, he's going to cover Switzerland, Austria, and Vienna. Good things are happening to this gentleman, too. The guitar work, man, I'd love to see Kevin Jackson and David get together, because that would be something else. One of those superior musicians that we have in the city of brotherly love. Stevens is with a V, S-T-E-V-E-N-S. Music.com if you want to know where David is and where he has been. He's got a good story. Abstract Truth, also from Philadelphia, brand new, Shadows from the Sun, with G Lines on bass, and a couple of our pals, woo, haven't seen Roy for a while. Roy Richardson on alto sax, Scott Coulter on piano. There's a couple of names I don't know, but I do know Eric Marienthal is playing on a few tracks. Yep, this is brand new from Abstract Truth, and it's abstracttruthmusic.com, just like DavidStevensMusic.com. You'll find out that, among other things, G was inspired by Cedric Napoleon, one of the founders of Pieces of a Dream. But back in the day, in high school days, the group was called A Touch of Class. And that's where G wanted to learn how to play bass. And yeah, the rest is history. We all have our inspirations, don't we? Yeah, we do. Mark Meadows, also one of these wonderful local guys, was living in Baltimore. Now he's in D.C., and he's teaching at the Duke Ellington School of the Arts. We've played this particular track once or twice. Mark is the son of Gabe Meadows, who is formidable in Texas circles and beyond. Great singer, great artist known in R&B worlds. Mark is on piano here, just a young man and wise beyond his years. He was music director for a church that we were attending for a while and just pulled together some interesting music for that church. And I don't know if he's still there because we're not going to the church anymore. We found another one. But Mark has a new CD coming out in the summer of 2014. Just a little taste of what's to come. This is what this young man is able to do on a keyboard, taking something that we already loved and making us love it more. When I Fall in Love on Hybrid Jazz. Thank you.
look at the mercury 40 below. No life for a lady to be dragging her feathers around in the snow, leaving her mate. She flew straight to the Tangipahoe, where a two-timing blackbird met the divine mistletoe. I'd like to ruffle his plumage, Baltimore Oriole, messed around with that big mouth till he singed her wings. Forgiving is easy, it's a woman-like, now and then could happen thing. Send her back home, home ain't home without her warbling. Make a lonely man. Come down from that bough, fly back to me now. Make a lonely man happy, Baltimore Oriole. Come down from that bough, fly back to me now, Baltimore.
Darn song in the world, isn't it? Woo! Baltimore Oriole. Written by Hoagie Carmichael and Paul Francis Webster. Done so wonderfully by Carmen McRae, who recorded this particular album back in 1958 in New York, August the month, Birds of a Feather. And it's just so hysterical to contemplate this. Just like we played K.D. Lang earlier, right before Jim Beard's interview, we played something from Drag from the mid-90s, all about smoking and other addictions and dependencies. And you heard her do a Jane Sibbery song there, woo, about losing your lover. Well, Carmen did hear Birds of a Feather, songs about birds, essentially, or, you know, a little allegory in music or something to allude to the flight of a bird. Just very interesting and quite satisfying. Baltimore Oriole, Al Cohn on tenor sax, Ben Webster also on this, Don Abney on piano, and Irwin Markey Markowitz, as well as Mundell Lowe on guitar. Really cool stuff. Carmen McRae, can't play her enough, can we? We also heard Ken Navarro, Wichita lineman, the classic Jimmy Webb song that Glenn Campbell did. That's the definitive version right there. But when you hear it instrumentally done so that it kind of reminds you of the emotional intent of the song, it's just so beautiful. The Test of Time, the name of the CD. Ken, of course, has been a guest here and makes his home in the state of Maryland. I'm really excited for him because he's got a new CD coming out. That's going to be sometime in 2014. If you go to his website, you can see podcast episodes of how he's coming along, what he's doing next. He always makes it so interesting. He's going to be in Austin, Texas on the 24th at One World Theater, then in Houston, then at Scullers in Boston, and then he's going to do a living room concert. He's been known to do these. He does them quite well, and hopefully that will spark more interest in doing the same. I think it's a lovely idea. You know, the prices aren't really highfalutin if you have somebody that is doing something solo or a duo or a trio, and it just makes for an unbelievably memorable night. So Ken will have information in case you want to book him for a living room concert. Yay, Ken! Mark Meadows. And actually, it's markgmeadows.com to find out more information. When a Child is Born, the name of the CD, now several years old. Mark's working on a new one. You heard When I Fall in Love, the beautiful classic. Oh, mercy. Just to show you how life can change on a dime, and this is for Beach, especially in Southern California, because we always talk about this, people's lives just changing. Mark was living a very different life this time last year. A couple of things that were going on that aren't going on now. But what is going on now for him, his music and his presence on the music scene have popped so much that he's working pretty much all the time. He's getting involved with very much top drawer, first-tier acts, not only in the region but beyond. And then he had a pivotal meeting recently, very much a surprise, with Stevie Wonder. Stevie came to Bohemian Caverns, and Mark got a chance to talk to him. So we don't know what is going to be happening with Mark Meadows now, but Stevie has always been able to recognize talent, especially as it's on the rise. Mark's been doing his thing for a while, but there are some major things coming, including a new CD. So keep your eye on that name and your ear here. Now Washington, D.C. claims him, Mark Meadows. Yes! We're going to play one more song before we wrap it up. Jim Beard was pretty specific about what three songs he wanted to have played on the show today, but I don't think that he would mind me playing this one. This song is really special, and when it's done specially, it has to get focus. From Show of Hands, Jim Beard once again, and My One and Only Love. right there. And wasn't that nice? My gosh. From Show of Hands, my one and only love. Thanks to Jim for stopping on by, and to Matt, to Beach, to Susie, folks who have come and gone today, folks who are going to be listening in the archives. Don't forget, next Tuesday, a special show from Level 10, a group that is creating a lot of buzz at Clearwater Jazz this particular weekend, by the way. From Level 10, Levi DeAndrade. And also Gloria Loring will be with us next Tuesday. Don't forget things to do in our area. The beautiful tribute concert to Earth, Wind, and Fire in tribute is going to be happening at Bethesda Blues and Jazz tomorrow night. Gary Granger and I had hoped to talk, but life got in the way. That's going to be tomorrow night at 8 p.m. at Bethesda Blues and Jazz. And Stanley Clark is at Blues Alley tonight, tomorrow night, Saturday and Sunday. So if you're going to go on Friday, I'll see you there. Lou Smith, waiting for you to pick me up, Captain. It's going to be a good time. Let the birthday continue. Thank you so much for your time and attention to all that is Hybrid Jazz. Have a great weekend. Be safe. Thank you, Daoud, for the music. And we'll see you next time on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.